Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from over the weekend. So we started a new focus on Friday. Read and record the write-up for this month's focus. As you listen to the recording, look to see how you would like to work with the process focus for this month. Jot that down. Example, celebration is not something I do. I come from a family that is big on holidays and birthdays and anniversaries, and yet that orientation of marking the occasion isn't mine. On Saturday, for the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about the focus you've chosen. As you go about your day, keep your focus in awareness. Notice and jot down what the voices say. What is the conversation in conditioned mind around the process of celebrating you're working with? And then on Sunday, notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Assignment, review the statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed? A belief or assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. RL what you see. Example, voices, that wasn't really a big deal, no need to make a fuss about it. Belief, an occasion has to meet a certain standard of significance to warrant a celebration. All right, here's our here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dana in Alaska. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly. Hello, Dana. What are you seeing?
Well, I've been looking a lot at all the voices of evaluation that are constantly happening and how they separate me from celebrating. And as I worked with it over the weekend, I noticed that there was something even more specific, which is that I have this communication habit of saying yes, but to everything. And I think I'm maybe going to work with just practicing saying yes and as a way of celebrating everything that I see coming before me.
Ooh. That's a good one, right? Because it's not either or, is it? And that's what you've seen. And that just, it's so quick, isn't it? Just that one little, is it big enough to call a phrase, just puts the whole ego perspective in place for you.
Yes, and so what I haven't figured out yet is how I'm going to practice, like supporting myself to do this. But I really just had this idea this morning, so I'm sure that that will come.
Yes, it will. And just in case, the voices get you to noodling, it could be as simple as some recordings where the first recording where you talk with the mentor about that clarity, because it's huge. I mean, what you've realized is how simple it is for ego to introduce duality. Yes, but if we were trained to say yes, no, it would be the same process.
Right.
You with me? Yeah. And so just grasping that, the magnitude of that awareness, that's really, really important. And then for me, I do the old standard make recordings where I just say, yes, but, and realize how that is and how that sounds and what my relationship is with that, so that when I hear it coming out of my mouth with another human being, it's going to flag me. Right? I put up signs for myself and little notes that bring my attention to it. I listen for it in other places. If there are people in my life that I trust a lot, which there are, I'll ask them to help me catch on to it. Ooh, there it is again. Ooh, there it is again. Now we're on the, we're on the hunt.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about it.
Oh, I'm excited about it. It's a really exciting focus. And I hope other people will not, they don't have to drop whatever they're focusing on and go with that, but just for all of us to bring that into conscious awareness. How often does that, you know, my version of it is, well, you know, that's the one I'll often play with. Well, which means, yeah, but, you know, it all comes down to the same thing. Sure, I'm gonna acknowledge that I hear you, but I'm certainly not going to agree with you.
Yeah, and I'll just add one more thing, which is that one of the places where I got very well trained in yes, but was college. You know, everything yes. had to be evaluated there.
And that's
there was
right.
always a distinction that could be made.
That's
and
right.
I'm tired of it.
Yes. And isn't higher education the playground of ego? I mean, just let's go in every direction, right? It doesn't have to be. It doesn't mean that we need to be ignorant or uninformed or idealize stupidity. And just realizing, I'll kid people, you know, I get introduced to wine, and it's a, you know, it's a, well, now times have changed, so it's a $10 bottle of wine, you know, and I just think it's heaven. But then I'm coming up in the world, and so is my ability to afford more expensive wine and more expensive wine. And now I find myself in a cave in France, and I'm getting ready to taste one of the most expensive wines on the planet. And I take a sip, and what's going to follow is, is that really that much better than that? So what we're learning to do is not to enjoy anything because we're not present to it. We're just always in comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so thank you, and gusho, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Gusho to you. Have fun. Keep us posted.
I will.
All right.
Thanks, Dana. I love what creates the world of you.
Oh. Wait, Ashwini, you were really strobing out for me there. Start again.
I said that word, but, is such the portal to duality because it creates something other than this, right? And the word and is the inclusion. And it takes me back to the quote that we included in the focus writing from you that says, by celebrating all of life as it is in each moment, we grow our capacity to include everyone and everything in that unconditional love and acceptance. We are required to love all being, and the only way to do it is to celebrate all. And the word and is the way, the portal to inclusion, okay. Right? This and this and this and this, mm-hmm. not this. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller.
I like that. And is the portal.
Yeah.
We want to live in and because all of life is and.
Yeah.
There are no dividers.
No.
There are no buts. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not going to make any joke about being buts, but anyway, yes. They're not real.
Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Sweeney. This is Pat in Asheville.
Well, hello, Pat. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm really, really lucky when it comes to celebrating because I begin every morning with the greatest celebration when I open my dog's crate. I have two little dogs, and they both sleep beside my bed in a large wire mesh crate. And when I open that crate, they come out full of exuberance. I jump up on my bed, and every morning of my life, that's what happens. So we just have the biggest...
It's a party.
We have the biggest love in, and it's totally unconditional love. I mean, where are you going to get better love than from your dog? You know, they don't care if you forgot to buy their favorite dog food or anything like that. They don't judge you for anything, and it's
right.
just the greatest way to celebrate. And I find that most of my celebrations, when I have something glorious, like with our practice or something along those lines, to celebrate, I choose doing it with him. We'll get in the car and drive up on the parkway and the Blue Ridge Parkway and have a lovely walk, or we'll go to one of the parks in Asheville and have a walk. It's just such a great way to just soak up life and unconditional love.
Well, Pat, that's such an important point, because now you're seeing them through the eyes of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
right.
It would be possible for a human being to just find them annoying, right?
Yeah, a lot of people don't like dogs, and I don't trust those people.
Deep belief that there's probably something deeply wrong with them.
Exactly.
But you see them through the eyes of love. And I project that being with them like that, it's easy for you to see everything through the eyes of love. So there are the trees and the bushes and the birds and the sky and the clouds and the, right? And so you kind of slide into an orientation to life like theirs.
Well, I must say, my practice has helped me immensely in doing that, in seeing through the eyes of love, and also moving here from Dallas, moving up to Asheville, where we've got these beautiful mountains and these beautiful, we've just had the most gorgeous fall, and the trees, and it's just been overwhelming. I've been out with my dogs every day, just soaking up the beauty and of all of the life around, and you know, the whole process of they've got to lose their leaves, and we've got to have the, you know, the drab winter, and then it all gets to come back, and it's just a remarkable place to live, and a remarkable practice that we're in that has given me all of these wonderful gifts.
Yes, I agree with you 1,000%, and especially with that last statement, because it's the practitioner, right? It's dropping out of the conversation about what's wrong and what's missing, and being in life as life is in any given moment, right? That's what makes all the difference for you. I've spent a lot of time in Asheville. I can promise you there are some unhappy people there, right?
True.
There's nothing about any place or any situation that demands that we have a particular response to it, right? And
right.
So, and that, to me, that's what you're celebrating, right?
Yes.
Is that it? Yeah, is the grace, the whatever, however we got to this place of being able to see life as life is, rather
mm-hmm.
than looking through the eyes of ego.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just been so wonderful compared to the way I was raised in that judgmental denomination the religious denomination that I was raised in, and where love was pretty much based on how good a person you were.
Yeah.
And then that doesn't even figure into the equation anymore.
That's right. You just look at those dogs. Would be to say, are these good dogs? Are these really good dogs? Yeah, they're good dogs.
Yeah.
<Moving on. laughs> All right. Thank you, Pat.
Well, thank you, Sherry, and thank you, Ashwini. It just means so much to me, and I hope that we all have many, many, many more years to go on doing this together.
Oh, me too, Pat. Me too. Yeah. Grateful for every moment.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sherry, can you hear me?
Perfectly, beautifully, better than before.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Since I missed that last bit of conversation with Pat, let me bring Brad online. Hang on a second.
All right.
Boy, it turns out as soon as I put myself in the queue, I get picked. Here I am.
See there? And
I'm here.
And though you did get a little heads up, right? Because you heard your name.
I did.
You didn't have to
do
that.
I did, yes. The adrenaline kicked in before that even, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. What are you seeing?
Well, what I'm seeing is I guess the thing with me around the holidays, particularly with what's going on right now, is to be able to celebrate and mind you, this goes beyond the holidays, but to celebrate regardless of circumstances, because it becomes such a matter of ego that we need to put off everything until everything is just right. And I notice that permeates my whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And with the holidays, I read, I don't know where this came from, but somebody was opining about what happens to adults with the holidays, and that when we're young, when we're small children, clearly you have small children, right? It's just a matter of what's happening right now, right? And in every year that goes by, there's more to compare right now too. So by the time we're adults, all of the comparison that has gone on has really taken the sheen off of the holidays, right? It's just, oh, God. And now we're in a pandemic, and now the economy has collapsed. And now, how are we gonna make this what it should be, right? Because for a lot of folks, it comes down to, okay, I've given everybody everything that, you know, now what am I going to get for so-and-so? What am I going to, and it just becomes a stressful misery rather than what it's meant to be, which is a celebration.
Yeah, and it's the same thing going towards me when people ask me, what do I want? And I'm like, I have no idea. Don't really care.
but I bet you do know, Brad. I bet you want people to be happy.
Yes.
I bet you want to feel love and have everybody know that they're loved.
Yeah. From a non-materialistic perspective, that would be the best option. Yes. You know.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be it.
Mhm. Mhm. Which could be an interesting sort of a shift in orientation, right?
Yes.
Away from, because it's not like it was, and for that I think we can always be grateful.
You always lead us to the perspective of where we need to look, and I would agree with that.
yeah. So okay, well those days are gone, and those days may never come back. All right, well then what now? What now?
Yeah.
We've got this family, we've got these kids, we've got this. You know, does it really need to be whatever is on television is going to be the thing we buy for them that's going to make them happy? That might be more our perspective than their perspective.
How about tattoos for the whole family that say, what now?
What now? Yeah. How about that? But can you find a tattoo artist to come to the house and wear a mask?
Exactly. Yeah, there's the other dilemma. Yes. Yeah. I may have to have temporary ones made.
Mm-hmm. Could be fun.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
All righty.
All right. Thank you,
Well,
Brad.
Thank you. Good talking to you.
Keep celebrating.
Will do. Good show.
Thanks, Brad. Sherry, that conversation reminds me about the process of practice, right? It's over the course of the years of practice we do, what we get to arrive at is the essence of presence, right? It keeps getting whittled down, and then there's a way that we could be with the essence of everything. And that is the essence of celebration is really not everything we do, but the attitude of mind that we experience. And there's a process by which we've got to encounter all of those various ways to celebrate to find out perhaps that that's not the essence of it, and then to arrive back at the essence of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So in the email class this morning, I was writing to somebody about who was trying to figure out kind of, you know, the what to do, which is where we get tripped up. And what I found myself going to is, you know, what if you could go through life feeling the way you want to feel?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
What if that could be the case? What if you were just present and open and caring and loving in each moment? Isn't that what we would really want?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what we would want for everyone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why would we do anything else hoping that we're going to get to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's the peace quote from this morning, right? At any time, we're free to choose a past and a future, a narrative of a past or a narrative of the future. And it's the choice that mm-hmm. makes all the difference. So when I get to this is how I want to experience life, I have there is a way in which I have to choose it.
Yes. Yes, right now. Not think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. We're back to Dana. Not well, yes, but I
mm-hmm.
need to, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
No buts about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's something that I've been playing with recently, that you get to the experience if it's never about the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That essence is beyond feeling.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Although we do tend to feel it.
It's one true.
You can see it looking back on it. You can't figure it out looking forward. Right?
Yes.
So when we're in that essence, we do know what it feels like, but we can't get to the essence by trying to have the feeling.
Yes, and yes, yes. Well, let me bring on another call. Otherwise, I was just, yes, exactly.
Yeah, we've gone all esoteric here, haven't we? Oh,
well, it is the essence of it, so I guess we get to be esoteric, but let's bring it back to celebration. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Paula in Charleston.
Well, hello, Paula. What are you seeing?
Well, I was just thinking how wonderful it is to be here, and that, you know, looking at celebration, there is a realization or an awareness that some voice in me thinks or believes that, you know, you can only have a celebration if there's more than one person, and. So celebrating alone is like, that's not really a celebration.
Uh-huh. And then we get to realize we can never be alone. Being alone isn't even possible.
It's so good to see, Sherry, because I would say, at least in my experience, being alone is something I used to that as a child, and as I got older, I really loved being alone, and I still love being alone. In fact, I crave being alone, it seems like, when I don't have it for a while. So in some ways...
But Paula, yeah. That's so beautiful, because that's what you're saying. What you crave is what you experience when you're not relating from conditioning, right, with other people.
Yeah.
When there's nothing pulling you out of this here now. Isn't that what you're describing?
Oh, yeah, that is so true. It's just sinking in, and I just, it's the, you know, it's like, I don't know, sometimes, Sherry, and I, maybe this sounds odd, but your words are like, you know, tasting something delicious that I just want to leave in my mouth for a while. Because it's so good to hear, you know, the truth. And it's very true, you know, the part that I were never really alone in that egocentric way, but we're always in, you know, I don't know, all of life is available to us. And I'm just delighted by it, and I love this focus and looking forward to, you know, coming up against those old conditioned voices that say, you know, it's what fun is it to dance alone or to sing where nobody can hear you?
that's right. And yet, when you dance alone, isn't it great to have a really marvelous partner who knows exactly the right moves at the right time?
Yes, and you have all the space that you need. And,
yeah.
You
know, other people cluttering it up. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And you know, Paula, another thing that I was just seeing as we were talking about this is that sometimes when we're not in the company of other people, let's just put it that way, because we've established we're never alone, but we're not in the company of other human beings, it gives us such a wonderful opportunity to experience them through the eyes of love. Because it's very, very difficult for us when we are in the company of other people not to let ego slide in there with its negativity or its, you know, it doesn't have to be horrible, but just a kind of watching and noticing how they're less than the perfection that we know they could be, right? And when we're by ourselves, there isn't any of that. We can just let love look at the people we love.
It's such a great practice. It is such a great practice to practice seeing, well, I guess what's dropping is when we're alone. And then, you know, it's, I don't know, the other thing that drops in right in this very moment is, you know, here's the story. I don't like being in crowds, and I don't really like these big party celebrations. And yet, there's some kind of missing that human connection. And then there's back to, but it's everywhere.
And in describing that, we can see how we get jerked back and forth, right? I don't like big crowds, but now that I don't get to be in big crowds, now I have to hear how I miss them. Right. And so I just had this little fantasy of you saying to yourself, you know, I want to go for a walk in the woods so that I can be with my loved ones.
Yeah.
So that I can truly be with them.
I don't want to forget that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Paula.
Thank you. Have a great, go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Paula. Sherry, I love that notion of not relating to, I mean, that the way we feel the absence of the other is only when we relate to ego and not to life.
Yeah.
That when we're here, the interconnectedness is almost, it's not even a question. The availability of everything and everyone in this moment. And to take a walk through the woods with all the people in your life. How wonderful. What a concrete practice to experience that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just heart filled with love and everyone embraced. And what a joy.
Yeah. What a joy. Mm. Well, I thought I could bring on another caller, but I am not able to. So here we go. Here's our next assignment. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we're a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Examples. Cheerleader. You should take time to do something for yourself. You earned it. Making excuses. I'm exhausted by all that hard work. I don't have the energy to celebrate right now. Besides, it's too late to organize something anyway. High standards. Are you sure you did what you did was worth celebrating? Good etiquette. You can't toot your own horn about this. ER. Who would want to celebrate with me? This is not important to anyone else. Life is a serious business. What's the point of celebrating this? We still have many more important things to achieve. Lip service. Perhaps I could just treat myself to a procrastinator. There'll be plenty of time to celebrate later. It just feels too hard to do now.
How can we have just one word, I, to cover all of
all those.
That? All right. Well,
all right.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care. Go
Thanks,
happy.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.